This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 224 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and this is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, we are doing back-to-back, so we're trying a little something different this month. We're going back-to-back with two movie franchises. Last episode, you heard us give our take on Lara Croft Tomb Raider, and this episode, we're going to be giving you our two cents on Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life. This is, of course, the one that is only famous for Angelina Jolie wearing a silver scuba suit. But other than that, is it good? Is it bad? Did it age well? We're going to let you know. Alex, when is the last time you watched this movie?
I seen it once. This was pretty much a brand new watch, to be really honest with you.
Yeah, this was, I'm going to call it a first time watch, even though it's not. I did not see this one in the theater. So I saw the first one in the theater, and then I didn't go see this one. This came out when I was about 16. Movie going was a little different then for me until I turned 18. So I didn't catch it in the theater. I think I saw it on DVD in like 2005, and that's the last time I watched it. So it's been a good 18 years at least. So this was essentially a first time viewing for me. Now, before we get into it, let's go ahead, and you already know, we're going to give you these Rotten Tomato scores now. The last movie didn't do so good. If you remember, it had a 20% and a 47%. But that didn't stop me and Alex from enjoying it. What does this one got? Well, it ain't much better. This one, critic score is up 4% to a massive 24%. The audience score is down 3% to 44%. So the first one was a 20 and a 47. This one, a 24 and a 44. Thoughts?
That's not good.
not really.
That's really bad. Yeah. That's really bad.
Like, maybe this is why they didn't make a part three. And I don't think this one was as financially successful either.
Yeah, I think that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, so the original film, just if you wanted to know, did gross $131 million in 2001. And this one grossed about half of that, $65 million. So it didn't do much better critically, and it made half the money. With that out of the way, let's go ahead and give you our two cents. Now, this one, directed by an Action Movie Guy's favorite director, who's done two movies that we loved. His name is Jan de Bont, and he directed Speed, and he directed Twister, which is two of, like, our best action movies. But this is a different time. This is the 2000s. That was the 90s. So what did we think, Alex? You got to go first. Lead character, she's back. Angelina Jolie as Lara Croft.
She's the best. I'll say this right now. She's the best part of the movie. I'm not giving her the five, though. Her character took a step back, to be honest with you. I think she did not feel like the first movie that we watched. I felt like they redid her character for the sequel. I did not like it at all. They made her more sexy, which I didn't know why they tried to make her sexy when she was already sexy as is. She
automatically is when she wakes up.
Yeah, so they showed her in the shower. They showed her in a towel. Which I'm like, and again, I know a lot of people go, wow, that's, it is what it is. But for me, there's a lot of movies we've seen with Angelina Jolie, whether they're naked and taking lives, or whether she's doing like other movies like Origin Sin, or what is it called? The Original Sin. Yeah, where she's banging Antonio Banderas. Like, we got those type of movies. For this type of movie, we didn't need that. We already imagined her whatever she is, right? Like, that's the whole point of Lara Croft, right? She's a sex, she's like a sex symbol of video games, the character. Well, they did it with her, and I did not like it at all. It felt very weird watching those scenes unfold. Honestly, the character for me digressed. I didn't feel like they did nothing bigger with her or anything. They didn't make her, the character evolve nothing. I just felt like they just gave us a brand new Lara Croft for the sequel and not the same. And even her best friend, even the butler and Bryce changed too, which I was like, wait a minute, they were nothing like this in the other movies. And I didn't like it. I did not like it at all, but I'm going to slap her with a 4 because she was great as the role. I thought she was perfect again for the character, but I felt like she had to take a step back on the writing. So yeah.
Wow. You know what? You said everything that I agree 1,000%. I think Angelina Jolie's still amazing in the role. Ain't nothing. She doesn't play play it any different. The problem is that it is written differently. This whole movie is very different than the first movie, to be honest with you. And I think that this is why in the last review I mentioned the whole ending with her father, like what happens kind of ruins this movie. Like, let's say they didn't say that he died and he's still missing. At least it would have still added that chase that like maybe he's out there. It could have added a story element. Instead, she knows he's dead. So now this movie opens with her just randomly going to get something. Like, there's no buildup to it. There was tons of buildup to everything she did in the first movie. And for her here, it's just like random crap. And then she just happens to be doing this and happens to get involved. And then she happens to be there. And you're right. Like, she's just not written as well. She's still charismatic.
Yeah.
She's still great in the action scene. She still looks like Lara Croft. So in a way, it's weird. Like, it's almost the same, but it does feel a little different. Also, the Gerard Butler stuff. Oh, so Gerard Butler's in this too.
My boy.
Yeah, Gerard Butler. Much better. To me, Gerard Butler is much better than Daniel Craig was in the last movie.
He was.
But their whole, like, their whole relationship, I don't know about you, but to me, it came off false. Like, yeah. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel the chemistry between the two of them. For her to be like, for him to be like, you loved me. I was the, and she's like, yes, you're right. It felt so cold. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's on her performance because I've seen her have great chemistry with people, but maybe they just didn't have chemistry. So that whole aspect didn't really work for me. I also knocked off a point. I gave her a 4. I still think she is the absolute best part of this movie. She, Angelina Jolie is, but Lara Croft as a character, not as interesting as the last film.
Well, so, you're right, though. You're right in terms of Gerard Butler and her. I think they did have chemistry. I just think it wasn't written well. Because I thought they were good. I think they were good together in the action sequences. I was like, wow, they were actually worked together well in those scenes. Yes.
Yeah.
But other than like that love thing, it did not work because it felt forced. Because we all know as fans of the game, she doesn't have love interest. They never talk about that. It's right. Like Indiana Jones. They bang whoever they want, but the whole purpose of it is the adventure. Like, what are they going to get? Why are they going to get it? Like, why are they taking it to the temple or a village or, you know, put it in a museum or whatever? Like, I don't care for love interests for someone that does that type of stuff. It worked in National Treasure with Nicolas Cage.
I think we can agree, maybe, the first movie shows, like, you know, when people talk about strong female characters, she never gets brought up in the first Tomb Raider. I would wager she is. She doesn't have a love interest in that movie. They almost hint, like, her and Daniel Craig, maybe, but it's not explicit, right? And she don't care for him. She's like, I don't need you. Or she sees him butt naked right in front of her, and she just walks out like, peace, I don't care. And I love that. And here, it's not the same. She's like,
it's not.
She got problems, you know? She's like, oh, but I loved you. And you could tell it's all leading up to what happens with them at the end. You know what I mean? And it just felt forced.
I agree. I 100% agree with you.
All right. Now, this time, villain, we got a great actor, by the way. Sirian Hines, who's been in a ton of stuff. Fantastic actor. He's playing some guy named Jonathan Rhys. What did you think of this guy?
I like Jonathan Rhys. I thought he was good. I felt like he was a Mission Impossible villain for some reason. Mm. He had that like spy villainish there. I liked him. I thought he was really good. I was like, you know what? He was another strong character to oppose to Lara Croft. I was like, you know what? This is pretty good. But in the wrong movie. I felt like they wasted this villain for this type of storyline. They should have did some balls to the wall, full-fledged action, like she was going to get some type of piece of an artifact, and my man just came out and said, you got me over that freaking thing, or you're toastly, baby. You know what I mean? Like, remember our boy from Bullock from Indiana Jones? He goes, Andy, it's funny. Every time you come, I'm here to take it. And I'm like, bastard. He needed to be that villain. I know he's not in it in a video game, but you needed to have that type of villain to oppose Lara. Like, she was going to get something. He was like, oh, thank you so much.
He always feels one step behind instead of ahead.
Yes. I felt like, you know what? I felt like that he could have did it, but they gave him this type of stupid storyline. So with that said, I gave him a 4. He was super good. Like, and I'm not, he does fight her, but it was kind of weak. I do like the way he was very menacing when he gave the dude the Ebola. Like, I was like, holy shit. Like, he gave him he made him drink Ebola, bro. Like, that's some villain shit. Other than that, like, he was good. He's a great actor. Like, he commanded it more than Dr. Isaac's character, Powell. Yeah, I feel like he was way more menacing than that guy. But Powell in the part one knew his history of the artifact. So that's why I was like, they're kind of different, but I think this one was more villain. And I was like, you know, when you make someone drink Ebola, that's a four in my book. So that's a four. I give him a four, dude.
For drinking Ebola.
That's it, man. I never see someone drink Ebola.
I can't argue with you there.
Yeah.
So it's funny that you said what you said. To me, I also feel like he was in the wrong movie. To me, he felt specifically like a Pierce Brosnan Bond villain. Like from the Pierce Brosnan movies, a spy movie. He felt like he should have been in like The World Is Not Enough or something. Honestly. Or even the second one, Tomorrow Never Dies. He should have been the villain in that movie because I didn't really like that old guy. This guy, he's better. Now, that being said, I still think he's super generic. He's like, he is. So this was hilarious. Because I still can't figure out. Oh, I was watching the movie. I was like, but why is he so evil? He was a Nobel Prize winner, right? The Nobel Peace Prize. Right? The Nobel Peace Prize. And all he wants to do is get access to the... So he's trying to act... Pandora's Box is like the big thing in this movie, right? Which at least that was neat because they used an artifact that's like well-known in literature. In the first one, I feel like it was super made up, but it worked, but it was make-believe. And this one, at least they used something people have heard of, you know, Pandora's Box. And if you open it, it literally can... It's like anti-life in there. So I like all that. I mean, that goes more in storyline. But the point is, he wants to get this... So that he can basically sell it to like the highest bidder who would then have like, cause he makes biological weapons is what he does. He's like a chemist, not chemist. He's like a freaking whatever, a person who does biological stuff, biologist or something. And he can like make weapons, biology. Right? That's why he has Ebola that he can just give people to drink. So,
drink.
So he pretty much just wants to get the anti-life so that he could sell it. I'm like, bro, you're so rich already. This doesn't make, I don't get it. I didn't like it as much. I didn't like his motivation as much. It wasn't quite world domination. It was more like, I just want to sell this thing and make a ton of money and then you kill whoever you want and I don't care. Also, he's off screen a lot. Like he goes off for long stretches. I'm not going to lower his score than the last guy. I also gave him a 3. I thought he was fine. I think this movie, both movies have like fine villains. I don't disagree with your points, but for me, they're just kind of generic. I think this actor, I like Ian Glenn, but I was glad to see someone besides Ian Glenn be a villain in a movie. So Cyrian Hines, he's great. I do like the actor a lot. All right. So 4 for you, 3 for me. All right. Action scenes.
You know what's funny? My wife goes, is it an Ebola air virus? He's drinking.
He got the liquid form.
He got the liquid form of Ebola.
He's got liquid Ebola.
Yeah, anyway.
Pretty good.
Action scene. Okay, we're going to step this shit all the way back. The action is not good in this movie. I'm going to be honest with you. I think it felt very, very... Oh, man, how can I explain it? And I think you're going to agree with me. It felt very... Ooh, I'm drooling.
You're so mad.
I'm so mad. I'm drooling like a pit bull.
You got Ebola.
Yeah, I got Ebola. I broke my water.
This action movie gave you Ebola.
What do you call it? It felt very video game action. And if this is what I mean, generic action scenes that did not need to have action scenes, they have action scenes. And this is when I knew this movie was going to be god awful. This is how I knew it. When she cut herself underwater and she rode a shark to the top. And I said, you know what? I looked at my wife. She got up and she left. She goes, you're watching this by yourself. And I went. At the very beginning. Yeah, she's done. She was like, I want to go do laundry. I was just like, I can't believe they did this. Because she never did it in the video game. She never rode anything. But my thing is that when a movie goes down this route, the deep blue sea route, when they ride sharks, it just takes away the fun of it. You know what I mean? Like
the Aquaman,
right? Like she just went, and all of a sudden sharks came out, and she just first of all she punched the shit out of it underwater. She punched the shit out of the shark.
Yes. Punched it in the nose so hard that it obeyed her commands to take her up. I mean, if anyone could do it, it's probably Angelina Jolie, I guess.
Dude, I never seen someone punch a shark so hard.
Yes.
To the point, she rode it to the top. And I was just like, okay, whatever. She shot, Gerard Butler. She shot him, which I was like, okay, it is what it is. I didn't care for it. When she fought the dude in the... Where they filmed Mummy 3, The Tomb of the Emperor.
The Terracotta Warriors.
They use the same set.
I was like, this is Mummy 3. I've seen
yeah,
this.
Yeah, they use the same chocolate mummies.
It's the chocolate warriors, yeah.
The chocolate covered jellies is everywhere.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, oh, they use the same set. That scene alone was just like, like I was just like, this was not cool. And yeah. I don't know. Oh, okay. I know you're going to go, but I have to say it now.
Yeah.
When she fought with the World War II knife gun and yeah. she did all the poses. I said, this shit is garbage. I said, this is fucking horrible. I was like, I don't want to see anymore.
Yeah.
She did the pose. She's standing there and the dude is trying to hit her with a bamboo stick or a sword. And she's doing all this shit. For, yeah. I said, this
she
is so choreographed.
Out of him with that thing.
She stabbed him in the foot.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I'm going to let you live. And then she threw the knife right at his heart. And I was like, man, you could have did this shit 2 hours
games,
ago.
He kept yeah. playing games. That's why.
I couldn't take. Look, the action, I gave it a 3. See, I know we scored 3 as good, but I'm just going to use 3 as a subpar action. Yeah, like a fine. Because yeah. I'm not going to give it a 2 because there were kind of some decent part of yeah. action in the movie, but I gave it a 3 in the middle. I just, no bueno.
Man, I can't add much to what you said. Now, the funny thing is I put this picture on my Instagram. You know, every Monday I try to, Sunday or Monday, I try to post what we're going to review that week. So I put the 4K on my Instagram, and one of my good friends, all she commented was, she punches a shark, LMAO. That's all she put. I was like, what are you saying? Because at the time, I didn't remember. I hadn't watched this movie in forever. And sure enough, when she punched the shark, and this happens in the first like 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, I was like,
what? First of all, when the movie opens with this nonsense earthquake for no reason.
At like, the wedding in Greece?
They're playing like this techno music at the wedding. And then all of a sudden the rocks start.
They start yelling.
And they did all this just for the rocks to fall underwater and spell Tomb Raider.
The title sequence.
I knew right then. I was like, what the hell? This meant nothing. It meant nothing. Those people are nobody. It meant nothing.
The people are nobody.
They're nobody. Like, they don't go back to them. They could have got crushed. I don't know. So anyway, as far as this adventure goes, she has the scene in the underwater with the where she first gets that globe and then the Chinese guys take it from her. That's the closest thing we get to those cool sets in the first movie. Other than that, you're right. It's not like, okay, the shark is stupid, like, because it's CGI and it looks horrible. Besides the fact that they do say you should punch a shark in the nose, like if you wanted to leave you alone, but she punched it so hard. And I don't know if you've ever tried to punch underwater. I don't know how she generated that much. It doesn't hurt. you punch someone underwater. She has like a shotgun cannon for an arm. She, boom, punch the nose. The shark was like, got mad. And then it just let her grab it and took her to the top. Why would she know it was going to go to the top? How did she know it didn't swim around sideways? Anyway, all that. The rest of the action after that, it's pretty basic. I mean, it's well shot. You know, Jan de Bont knows how to shoot action clearly because, you know, Speed and Twister are amazing. Here, there does seem to be a little more CGI than the first movie, which is unfortunate. Most of it is practical, though. You still get a lot of people hanging off of stuff. The hilarious part, too, by the way, where the helicopter's there and she runs and does the pole vault right into, like, Gerard Butler's like, hey, what are you doing? And she just runs and launches herself.
That was bad.
Yeah, pretty stupid. A lot more stupid stuff than the first movie, in my opinion. That said, I agree with you at a 3 because it is executed well. It just didn't all work for me, and it's nowhere near as fun or exciting as the first one. But it's competent. This 3, I think that's the word for it. It's like competent. They executed it good for the most part, even if what they executed is kind of dumb. But there's enough of it too. Like there's the monsters at the end, like what the hell? Those tree monsters that just like come out of nowhere when Jaimin Hunsu is there and they just start sucking people into the trees. And I'm like, what am I watching? At that point, I didn't know what I was watching anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we gotta get to story because that is part of story. So I give the action a 3 as well. I'm right there with you. What do you think of the story?
Well, the story, this is where it's going to be shot shot down, bro. It starts to go low here. The story's god awful. It is a god awful story. It is decent. I gave it a 2. It's a 2. Yeah. It had moments that it was pretty good. It has some stuff that was cool. The Pandora box stuff was cool. I was like, you know what? It was a cool premise, but executed very poorly. I mean, when I tell you poorly, this thing was executed very poorly. Other than that, like stories around the character didn't make sense. And I didn't like the love interest with Gerard Butler. I didn't care for that. They didn't utilize her best friends, Bryce and the Butler, more. They used them in the beginning, and then they got paid for like, what, a day and a half of work?
Because they didn't do nothing. Like on Skype. They're not even there.
Yeah. That was pretty bad. You know, I thought they're going to do like... I liked the beginning because they had the Freemasons and they had the Illuminati. I thought this was going to continue that. Like, this is another person from the Illuminati going, you know, you destroyed whatever. Like, when we did the reboot, right? One thing about the reboot that it ended on was the twist that the lady that she signed the contract was the bad guy, right? That she was like, you know, they were using her the dad's company to do all this bad stuff. Should have did something like that with here. Because I felt like this movie did not feel like an adventure. I understand. Just because you throw jungles in a fucking movie doesn't make it look like you're in a... It didn't feel like it. It just felt like a generic sequel to a movie that I'm going to say now, but it didn't need it. It did not need a sequel. After watching this, I was like, you don't need a 3, because where 3 was going to go, I really don't know. So I didn't like the storyline. It was very decent. I'm never going to watch this one again. The first one I would watch a lot. I just didn't like the they're trying to make her to the sex symbol. That she's already sexy. I don't understand why they need to make her into a sex symbol. And what cringed me was in the beginning, after the Grease meltdown, is when they're jet skiing and she's doing flips with the jet ski. I was like, why are you flipping with jet ski?
Yeah, like, that was like a PlayStation 1 moment where you get like 1,000 points for doing a barrel roll in the air.
Oh,
for
no Jesus. Reason. Oh, my God.
It's like Wave Racer.
Hey, I gave it a 2. What do you thought about the storyline?
Yeah, I gave it a 2 also. I thought it was not good. I've seen worse, so I'll reserve the 1. But yeah, every if you go element for element, like everything was worse in this. She's worse as a character. The villain is equal. Okay, we'll say equal. But you're right. Like the villain overall, because the other one had Illuminati, which was cool. This one's literally just like a terrorist guy. That's it. Terrorist guy who has mad like henchmen for no reason. Although I do like his lead henchman. That actor's name, Till Schweiger. He's pretty cool. He's a German guy. Yeah, he was in Inglourious Basterds and he's awesome in that. And then you have Jaimin Hunsu who pops up. He was cool. I always like seeing him in any movie. But yeah, she's worse. The villain overall is not as cool. The artifact they're going for is not as cool. It's literally a ball that is a map to where Pandora's box is. Whereas in the first one, it could freaking like control time if you put it together and you could like, that's way cooler than the coordinates to something. You know, I'm not a big fan of maps as like the main thing that they're trying to get personally. I always like whatever they're getting. Now, Pandora's box is a cool, I guess, idea, but everything in Africa, I didn't like. It's cool that they set it there, but once they go there, I'm like, why are there tree monsters? I hated that. Whereas the first movie had those things come to life because of whatever mystical powers on the temple. This is literally some random little forest where there's just tree monsters that only come out when they hear the quiet place things. They can only hear sound and they suck you into the wall. Like, it's stupid. Then there's no explanation. And if you notice, they never talk about them before and they never talk about them after. It just like, it just happened. And how are they supposed to leave? Once they get in there, how are they supposed to leave with all the monsters out there? It doesn't make any sense. Her friends, worse. You're right. They're barely there. The only part I liked was when she's fighting the guy with the stick and then they doing the training in the house. Yeah. That was pretty neat. That was pretty good. And she's like kind of mean to them. She's like, when she gets back from Greece and the guy's like, there's like 1,000 books on that. She's like, well, you better read all of them. I kind of like that. It gave her a little bit of, you know, she was upset because she was never really that mad in the first movie. She was like, cool.
Well, she lost the two guys, her friends, right? From Greece. They killed them.
Yeah, they got killed. We don't even know who they were, but they were apparently her friends. At least she lost something here, but I don't know. I agree with you. I thought it was worse in every regard. I gave it a 2. Also, too much globe trotting. Like they go to China and they go to Africa and they go to Greece and they go to, it's like, it didn't have to be in her home, which is in England. And my favorite part though, by the way, this is not storyline related, but I got to say before I forget, when Gerard Butler comes onto that boat and talks Chinese to those people, I laughed so hard because not only is he saying some weird Chinese stuff, he's saying it with a weird voice. He's like, and I'm like, what the heck is, why did he put his voice so high? Go back and watch it. It's hilarious.
No, I already know what you're talking about. I think they dubbed him.
It had to be. It didn't even sound like him.
No, it didn't sound like him. I think they dubbed him. I don't think he could have said the lines right. And
it
they
sounded
just dubbed
like
him.
Her when she talked. It definitely didn't sound like him when he did it.
Because I think Angelina Jolie is multi-language, because I know she does all the peace stuff around the world. So I know she knows some languages. So yeah. I don't think Gerard Butler said those lines.
No, he didn't. So yeah, we are in agreement. Both give it a 2. Pretty weak. What's your overall?
This movie is not good at all. I was looking forward to the sequel. Not anymore. I'm never going to see the sequel again. It's not good at all. I mean, her in the silver suit was actually pretty cool. I thought she was cool. She's riding the dogs. I thought it was pretty cool. I felt like there was some unnecessary stuff when she was like, I got contacts. And all of a sudden she was like, all right, boys, thanks so much. And then they dropped her ass with the Jeep into Africa. I don't know. I just feel like those scenes wasn't necessary. Or she did the halo jump. Was it the halo jump with the airplane? With Gerard Butler?
Oh, they did they had parachutes. They did like a parachute jump, which was filmed. It was like 5 minutes long. I'm like, why are they still falling forever?
Yeah, I wasn't too fine with that. The movie was not a necessity. I felt like it was a waste of film. Now, this is what I was going to say with this movie. This felt like Speed 2 Cruise Control.
And Jan right? DeBont also directed that.
Didn't it feel like Cruise Control? Like, it just felt like you had her, but she was like the Sandra Bullock without the Keanu. Like, I just felt like this movie felt like that movie. Like, it did not need a sequel. After watching the first one, I'm like, it's a masterpiece. I think it's way better than the reboot, the first Tomb Raider. So, this one, I don't like it at all. I thought it was just a waste. They should have got a way better writer to write the Tomb Raider movie. But I have hope for the property. I mean, you know, I know it's going to sound crazy, but you could bring back Angelina Jolie for one more.
As like a grizzled veteran.
She has a daughter. With Daniel Craig, Alex West. I mean, like, you know, like The Mummy Returns, but, you know, you have Alex West who's
I'll see Angelina Jolie in anything. So if they did bring her back, I'd watch it.
Yeah. Honestly. And then she trains her daughter, and then it'll be like The Adventures of Minnie Croft.
That's what he'd be called. Lara Croft Tomb Raider, : Minnie Croft.
The Minnie Croft Chronicles. Yes. But anyway, with that said, I gave it a 2. Not a good movie.
But yeah, I'm right there with you, man. I gave it a 2. I was disappointed. Because I didn't remember this movie, I was kind of looking forward to it. I watched them back to back, and I was like, that first one was a blast. And I don't really remember the second one, but hopefully it's a blast. And then, you know, I saw the Rotten Tomatoes scores to write in my notes. And I was like, oh, they're higher. Well, critics, they're higher. So I'm like, okay, maybe it's, you know, better. And then it wasn't. I did not like this one as much. It's way less memorable. I don't think the first Tomb Raider is super memorable either. It's not that kind of movie, but this one is even less because I just watched it 2 days ago and there's parts like I already forgot certain stuff. Like, it just didn't click. Jan DeBont, this was when he was no longer... To me, he had already kind of lost his touch. I think he made 2 great movies, and then he did Speed 2 Cruise Control, which I think actually he might have done before Twister, but... I don't remember.
Well, 96 was Twister.
So then it was after, because I think Speed 2 was like 97. And then he did The Haunting, which is it's an okay movie, but it's full of CGI crap. And then this, and then he just stopped making movies because he just kind of lost his touch. I think this was pretty much the end for him. And Speed 2 isn't not a good comparison to have, but you're right. I could watch the first one legitimately, and this I would only watch if like a friend had never seen it. I'm like, you want to laugh? You want to see someone punch a shark and ride it to the surface? You want to see a Greek wedding that has nothing to do with the plot? And then watch the first 15 minutes and then turn it off. But a good cast. Gerard Butler, Jaimin Hunsu, Angelina Jolie. Wasted. Wasted for the Syrian Hines. So I gave it a 2 as well. What's your total?
Well, I mean, I think the whole thing with the Greece was that the earthquake was what made her find the Alexander's tomb. To find that ball, remember? Because it was like she found the location of the stupid thing because of Greece. But anyway, doesn't even matter. It was really wasted. 15 out of a 25. And the only reason why is because the main lead and the main villain, I gave him 4s. Other than that, everything else was just a below 4, 3, 2, 2, which is a 15.
Yeah, I have a 14. So we're not far off. 1 point different on the first movie, 1 point different on this one. Yeah, don't foresee myself going back to watch this very often, if ever. But the 4K looked good. It did look pretty good. All right, next. So this was fun doing back-to-back movies. Guess what? We're doing it again next week. So next week, our 2 episodes will consist of, this is going to be a fun one. One that we have been, I'm surprised it took 225 episodes to get to. We're going to be doing some Robert Rodriguez films. Finally, some Robert Rodriguez films. We're going to be doing a little Desperado and a little Once Upon a Time in Mexico. This is another franchise that I have seen the first movie like 100 times. And I have seen the sequel like maybe twice. So I don't watch it as much. Not because I don't like it. It's just I love the first one. So I'm very interested to see, you know, how this goes. But that's going to be our next two movies next week.
Yeah, I have not seen Desperado and Once Upon a Time in Mexico in years. So it might be like, it's not going to say a first time watch because I like those movies. So, but I haven't seen it physically in a long time. Yeah. Now, the funny thing is El Mariachi was the first one, right?
So but El Mariachi, yeah, but no, none, nobody in. So Desperado is kind of like a remake sort of El Mariachi. El Mariachi was Robert Rodriguez's first film, super low budget, no famous people. And that character is what he used as the character in Desperado. But technically, Desperado is not a sequel to El Mariachi. So that's why I've been doing it as a one and two. But you're right. El Mariachi was like the practice version. And then Desperado was like the real version.
So it's like basically Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah, he's like, hey, yeah. Look. I got $30. I'm going to make this movie. And the studio said, hey, that's a cool movie. Here's a couple million. And then he made Desperado.
Awesome. Can't wait to watch it. Again, guys, if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/geeksandflicks for the video version of the podcast. Or you can follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast. Other than that, he is your host,
Nate from NateFlix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.